Giles McCurry asked me one time, how come you never use the front half of the book? So every time I use an Old Testament text, I think about him. And I don't know if he's listening or not, but maybe we'll wake him up. This is from the book of Ecclesiastes, interestingly enough, subtitled The Preacher. For everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. And a few more. I've occasionally thought that putting together a sequence of ideas that become a meditation like this is not unlike writing a song. There's an oddly consistent structure to what goes on. There's this introduction that introduces the title and the main idea. And then, at least in my case, there's generally three verses or three points that either amplify the point in a different way or take you to the point in a sequence of steps. And then there's a closer. So there's this structure that goes with that. And the structure for today's sequence of ideas showed up pretty early in the week. We left church last Sunday and drove to Dallas to pick up our grandson, who's with us now. And we were listening to the soundtrack of the movie Forrest Gump. And on that soundtrack is a song that perhaps you heard in your mind as I was reading that text. Pete Seeger, the songwriter of the 50s and 60s, set that set of verses from Ecclesiastes to music in the song Turn, Turn, Turn. And then a group called The Byrds made him rich by turning it into a number one hit. And, you know, there are these couplets, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to kill, a time to heal. And then there's this one where there's this odd syncopation in the couplet. A time to cast away stones. Well, it's my hope that after any sermon, a little phrase might stay with you, you know, like a song that rolls through your head. You know, that one stuck with me for most of the week. A time to cast away stones. What stones? Where do we cast them? To what effect? There are stones or weights that burden us emotionally, socially. And I started thinking about what it would be like to cast away some of those stones. So that's the title of the song, to cast away stones today. And the first verse is to cast away the stone of guilt. Anybody ever been weighed down by that? No. Well, there's really, you know, there's two different kinds, really. There's the sense of guilt and remorse over a particular thing that we did one time or that happened to us or that we couldn't prevent, and it's tied to a specific event. And, you know, there are ways of dealing with that in terms of making amends and so on. But there's the more insidious guilt that infects our sense of self. We experience that feeling because we're at least from time to time certain that were just flat out not worth it. One of the jobs I've had in the course of my life, I spent a year sort of when I was trying to figure out what to do next in my life. This was my little, you know, platform waiting for the next subway job. I worked as a counselor in a substance abuse program, and I had a partner, and we were co-facilitators of group therapy. And one night in particular, guilt was the subject, and all the clients in the program started talking about the things they felt guilty about and what they did and what happened, and pretty soon it became, well, you think that was bad, wait till you hear this. And I feel way worse about it than you do. And I was just kind of taking it all in, and my much more experienced and vastly more talented colleague just said, okay, enough. We're done playing can you top this of misery. Because it really was, the flip side of guilt is an odd kind of arrogance. Nobody's worse than me. Oh, that's nothing, right? And if you think about it for a second, it's almost like you're saying, God didn't do enough with Jesus to cover me. God created the heavens and the earth, forgave everybody all their sins, except for me that one time. I'm holding on to that. Well, why? It's as though Jesus' arms stretched out on the cross weren't quite enough. They didn't go far enough, as it were. All we are asked to do in response to that amazing gift is to live our lives with a modicum of gratitude. And the first step in being able to do that is to cast away the stone of guilt. Of course, we have messed up. We have had to make amends to other people. We have felt a sense of loss of our own self-respect. Welcome to the human race. Welcome to the human condition that God overcame. Jesus put his arms out on the cross just far enough, even for that, even for you. A time to cast away the stone of guilt. And a time to cast away the stone of judgment. We judge ourselves, but we also judge other people. A couple of years ago, I was sort of aimlessly surfing the net, I Googled myself, which is a pretty sorry thing to do. And for some reason, I'd Googled the name of a guy that had been an important person in my life, a mentor, a friend, who was my internship supervisor for a while. And I learned that he had died just fairly prior to his name coming into my head for some reason. And I read his obituary and all of that. And then I saw in his obituary, I saw the name of his daughter, who I hadn't thought of for years, but I had known her as well. She was part of my intro orientation group at seminary. And I haven't thought of her in a long time. And, her dad was in many ways much more important in my life. But I remembered that first day of orientation was always, where'd you go to school? What are you about? That sort of thing. And she said, I have a family. My husband didn't, and she named her husband. And her husband was an over-the-road trucker. I thought, well, that's kind of an odd combination. Someone with a college degree and a year of seminary and married to an over-the-road trucker. We all shared our stories of, who we were married to and what that was about. And I was married to a woman that I had known since I was in junior high school. We were in the same church choir. We went to Sunday school together. We grew up in the same church. And in fact, I remember not long after we'd gotten married, we were attending that church that we had both grown up in, and people had known us as, there they are, as it were. The pastor of the church introduced us to the bishop of that area that happened to be in town preaching and said, this is the only, kind of put his arms around us, this is the only couple that has gotten married coming out of this church together. They grew up in the same, and wow, shake hands with the bishop, that sort of thing. Well, in my friend's obituary was the name of the woman married to the truck driver. 35 some years later, they were still married to each other. That other couple was not. Now, there are lots of different ways to judge the health and integrity of a human being, but if you're a minister, being able to hang a marriage together is one way they judge it. And the oddly unexpected continued coupling of the minister and the truck driver compared to the two kids in the choir, there's an implied judgment there. And I know this is a convoluted story and a long way to get to the point, but the point is this, and I don't know why this happened. I thought of that story. I thought of that couple reflecting, in a sense, my own experience. The last time we did food bank, because sometimes it goes through my mind as the cars go through, you don't look all that underfed to me. That's a pretty nice car you're driving. And couldn't you be just a little bit more grateful? Maybe it's time to cast away the stone of judgment. Because nobody knows the details. Nobody understands the minutiae. And maybe nobody understands, in at least my case, in that story, how much better my life turned out after having, crossed a few rocks in the road as a result of that difference between the trucker and the minister and the two kids in the choir room. Time to cast away the stone of judgment. And one more. a time to cast away the stone of resentment. Now, I'll have to tell you that when I initially sequenced these ideas on the way to Dallas, resentment was first, because I wanted to get it out of the way. I talk about that all the time. Quite frankly, I'm not very good at it, so we'll just get it out of the way. Right? And I reversed the order of that last night after going to the Mac Davis concert. Mac Davis was in town last night. It was extraordinary. It's one of the best shows I've ever seen. And in the course of the concert, which was sort of part autobiography and storytelling about the music that he writes, Mac Davis said, "I've been asked a million times, where do I come up with these ideas for these songs?" And he is a prolific songwriter and has written some of the most widely circulated songs that any of us know. And he said, "Quite honestly, I don't know." And all of a sudden, I was connected, because people ask me, not quite as often as they ask Mac Davis, "Where do you come up with these ideas?" I really don't know sometimes. You know, there are times when, you know, the idea hits fairly early, like this week. There are other times when Jeannie and I are having Saturday breakfast, and she goes, "Well, what are you going to talk about tomorrow?" And I go, "I have no idea. I got nothing." You know. And then I go running. And sometimes it only takes a quarter of a mile, or even less than a mile of three, and suddenly the structure is there. How does that happen? Mac Davis answered the question. He said, "I don't know how it happens either, but I know when it happens," he said. And then he told a story about having attended the Emmy Awards many years ago, and he called her, some young girl, won Best New Artist, and came up and was given the, you know, acceptance speech that all Emmy winners give. They thank everybody that they can think of. And then he said she moved away from the podium and then, came back and went, "And I want to thank God for whispering that idea in my ear." And then Max said, "That's how it happens." All right, what does this have to do with resentment? I will tell you. I do get my ideas when I run. It's like sort of physically exhausting my body that opens my mind, and suddenly things happen for sermons. But I will also tell you, confessionally, that I squander that time from time to time. I squander that time plotting revenge strategies against people that annoy me. Apparently, that's not a completely unfamiliar notion. "Boy, the next time they say this, and I hope they do. Because give me a reason." And suddenly the 3-mile run is over. Nothing has been accomplished other than I just feel like I not only need to take a shower physically, but I need to take an emotional shower from all of that. I can't even describe in a word what it is that happens to my mind by just holding on and sort of savoring that resentment. You know, I'm going to. And here's the trouble. When you squander that kind of time, it's really hard to hear God whisper in your ear. I have yet to come up with a sermon idea following a 3-mile run of plotting revenge. Never happens. Because I'm not paying attention. So maybe it's time to cast away a stone of resentment so that you can hear the next time God whispers to you. Time to cast away stones of guilt, of judgment, of resentment. Everybody knows St. Paul's wonderful poem on love from 1 Corinthians. You know, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, love is patient and kind." And it's another set of couplets, you know, not unlike the piece from Ecclesiastes. But at the very end of that, Paul says, "For now we see through the glass darkly. We see through the mirror dimly." And that's true. We don't know fully what God is about, what he's doing now, what he has planned for the earth, the creation for us. And we sometimes look in the mirror and we only see the darkness. You know, the darkness, the big old boulders of guilt and judgment and resentment. But occasionally, the light flickers through. And for me anyway, this week, hearing again the lyrics of that song set to music, a time, and then there's this little syncopated, a time to cast away stones and let God shine a light of his love on you. and me. Amen.